very thankful to be with you. I always am. And once again, this is, you've always heard my testimony, this being the pinnacle of my week. I know yours as well. And I've been wanting to preach some more upon the purpose of the plates. This is the second portion of that message here from weeks ago, the purpose of the plates. And this is, of course, of the plates that we that were inscribed upon. And I don't know if you remember the last time that we did this, that I brought in some materials, and a scriber, and showing you what it would have taken to have done that, you know, to inscribe the characters upon them in a language that could be read. There's so many spiritual, powerful reasons that was done. And of course, so that we may know of those that they knew of the gospel of Christ many thousand years ago, that also they were praying for us today. Do you know that? They were praying for us today that we would receive this, not only of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but of the Gentiles who receive it, that we would be reading it today for very wise purposes, to know of the fullness of the gospel. And so we know, and then you have two records of the truth, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We have a more sure word of prophecy, if you will. And I've got a small characterization of Joseph Smith as they found that stone box, you know, with the plates and so on in it. And they said that there was a breastplate in it, and there was also a sword even in there. I was reading the account of Emma. They said there was even a sword. Was that the sword of Laban? Could very well have been. And of course, the interpreters that were to be used, not just anyone. That's another thing too. Not just anyone could look good through them. We can go to the optometrist, and I can get a pair of glasses, and I can look through them, and I can see clearly, and I can see who you are and everything else. But not those. You look. Not just anybody could do that. It was a spiritual thing, and not unless you were commanded to look through them. He says, or they could perish. I just wanted to mention a few things before we get into our study here. Some of my comments, if you will. There are a few things to be said about the plates themselves. So there isn't any reference as to what the plates were made of that Joseph Smith found. Okay, in just a moment here. Other than Nephi said that he used ore. And Moroni said, "An ore I have none." Now personally, this is Adam, I have thought because of the reference that they said they themselves would be of little worth, and that the material would be of brass, which is that alloy. We were talking about brass, didn't we? That combination of tin and copper, so that they wouldn't be so soft, so it wouldn't just wear away over time. But the only reference to gold is the 24 plates of ether. Now, this is out of the Book of Mormon. Those 24 plates that we were reading in Sunday school this morning, out of the records of ether, those 24 plates found by the people of Limhi. And remember, gold is also very soft. They have 10 karat gold, 24 karat gold, and so on. There's some that's harder than others. It's not pure gold. If you have pure gold, then your ring would be if you have a wedding ring on, it would be more teardrop shaped and not retain its little fancy stuff on there, because gold is very soft. That's why it was used a lot and very valuable, very shiny, of course, and workable. But now, and you saw this last week, as our brother Chris, this kind of reminded me of testimony. If we believe the testimony of the angel Moroni, saying that he stated to Joseph Smith that they were of gold. So, you know, that's a good question. Now, no matter what, of what all I say or whatever matter, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. The words on them do. That's what does matter. The words on those plates are what matter. And the Lord caused them before. Those were worth the riches of the earth. You know, just like the words in the Bible. Unto the salvation. To teach the keys of salvation. You know, the key to salvation, I should say. The key of salvation. Because there's not more than one way to heaven. There's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. And his way, only way of salvation. Many say that it would be so wonderful to have the rest of the plates, the sealed portion, more of the words of Jesus. Remember they said that there weren't a hundredth part of the words of Jesus that were written down? And there were things that the Lord commanded they shouldn't be written because they were so wonderful and so heavenly that they couldn't be written. The gold plates of the Jaredites that we were reading this morning. The plates of brass from the treasury at Jerusalem. Okay, we may, if the Lord finds us faithful with what we have, and if we read some of our studies, then we may receive some if we are faithful. But even though I made that statement, one thing to say is that one among us must be a seer to be commanded to look into the seer stones to read them, because they are in a language, remember, that cannot be read. So really neat that we could see these plates, right? It's just like if they were handed to us today. But you couldn't read them, could you? They were written in a language that nobody else could read them. It says that the Hebrew hath altered by them, or their language had been altered. They weren't written in Hebrew because Hebrew was too large. And so written in pictorial characters, probably concise pictorial characters. If you look at the basis of the Chinese language, there a character can tell a whole story. And so there are a lot of them meant different things upon them, you know. And so it was really, they probably had a pictorial character that would tell a story. More concise and less space and less plates to tell what needed to be done. Okay? So not like one page would tell one page they would be today. One page could have in on a plate could have meant several pages, most likely did. So less plates. So they were language. So one must be a seer. It's just like when those plates were brought to Mosiah to be read. King Limhi wanted to know if there was a person that could read them. He said, "Yes, I know a person." This is the reason the Lord hath prepared the stones, and we must pray the Lord will restore the gift as well. And so, if we are found faithful, and you can see these things, that we pray that the Lord will also restore this gift along with those articles, you know, sometime in the future, if we're allowed to ever see those things. In the book of Omni, in the first chapter, verses 24 through 30, and this is where the people of Mosiah had found the people of Zarahemla. We talked about that briefly in Sunday school this morning, and these were the people that were their descendant that had come out from Jerusalem at another time and taking some of the seed or one of the sons of Zedekiah with them, Mulek. And they become a very numerous people. And there was a great rejoicing. They were called the people of Zarahemla. And the reason I brought this up. Also Zarahemla did rejoice exceedingly because the Lord had sent the people of Mosiah with the plates of brass which contained the record of the Jews. And that's probably the out of the treasury in Jerusalem. Behold, it came to pass that Mosiah discovered that the people of Zarahemla came out from Jerusalem at the time Zedekiah, king of Judah, was carried away captive into Babylon. And you can read that in your scriptures about that very, very time. And Zedekiah only reigned for 11 years. So we have a window of time. We are also told of from Lehi about that same time frame. So there's like we find an 11-year window. And what's really, really interesting to note, there's a brother down in Ohio by the name of Brother Ron. He's come to see us before, and he told us, he gave me a YouTube video of a city that's outside Jerusalem called Benai Lehi. And it was legend there. They were talking to people, and they were digging this place up, that this was the legendary place of the prophet Lehi, who was prophesying in Jerusalem. And they said that one thing to note, that it was also legend that this prophet all of a sudden disappeared. course, we know in the Book of Mormon, if this is the same man and this is the same experience, we know what happened. Now, and they journeyed into the wilderness, and they were brought by the hand of the Lord across the great waters into the land where Mosiah discovered them. And they had dwelt there from that time forth. And at that time that Mosiah discovered them, they had become exceeding numerous. Nevertheless, they had many wars and serious contentions, and they fallen by the sword from time to time. And their language had become corrupted, and they had brought no records with them. Probably a lot of them because of the record and the written word. And that's why it is also very, very important as we teach our children from the most important records upon the face of the earth, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Yet they know. They know that their life can have strength and merit and meaning and purpose. And they know this. And they know the plan of salvation. Most importantly, how important that is, that foundation is in our families to teach them the words of the Lord. And they found that even their language had become corrupted. It says, but you know, our English language has become corrupted. There are many words that they add to the dictionaries every day. They're slang terms for this, that, and the other. We don't need to go into the variety of them. You go to different areas of our country, and you have a different dialect between the north and the south. You can cross the Ohio line, and you hear the southern, the way they would talk there. There are people I couldn't understand down in Alabama. And it's amazing across the country, you know, different mannerisms. And they claim that we over here in Michigan have an accent. And it's amazing. I actually think that we have the correct language and everybody else has the differentiation from us. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, they had brought no records with them. So how the value of having those things and knowing of the promises of the Lord among them. In the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Mormon, it's one of the books in there, chapter 4, verse 99. And it said that if our plates had been sufficiently large, we would have written in the Hebrew. But the Hebrew hath been altered by us also. And if we would have written in the Hebrew, behold, ye would have had none imperfection in our record. I remember in the Hebrew, they talk about the jot and the tittle, everything being very exact. Now, in the characters of the Book of Mormon, had to, I believe, in pictorial characters to be able to take up less space. But the Hebrew, it would have had to have been larger. And behold, you would have none imperfection of record. But the Lord knoweth the things which we have written. And also that none other people knoweth our language, because that none other people knoweth our language. Therefore, he hath prepared means for the interpretation of thereof. And because who would have them? Once again, if we were to receive and see these plates, there would have had to have been there has to be a means of translation. The Urim and Thummim, as may call them, or the interpreters, or the seer stones, look at as like two stones fixed in the rim of a bow, as it was described as. Is this what the plates really looked like? From description, possibly. And once again, a wise purpose of the Lord. And these things are written that we may rid our garments of the blood of our brethren, which have dwindled in unbelief. And these prophets were pouring out their souls upon these plates for the posterity and the salvation of the souls of men. Behold, these things which we have desired concerning our brethren, yea, even their restoration unto the knowledge of Christ, is according to the prayers of the saints which have dwelt in the land. And may the Lord Jesus Christ grant that their prayers may be answered according to their faith. And may God the Father remember the covenant which he hath made with the house of Israel, and may he bless them forever through the faith on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So once again, they're going to come to know of Jesus Christ, know the fullness of the gospel. And to know the fullness of the gospel, they need to have the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And to know of the fullness of those things. And If we today, especially in today's day in world, if we just took apart just the simplistic teaching of faith, repentance, baptism, and laying out of hands, those are things that we could talk a whole lot about that we do in the Church of Christ, especially in the restored gospel, that others do not do anymore. There are things that are in the scriptures that we do that others do not do. And I'm not going to pick on other congregations or other denominations, but that is a truth. And we all know these, have read and heard of these things. And that's the reason why there needed to be a restoration, like I talked about in the book of Revelations, of an angel flying with the restored gospel, or the everlasting gospel, I'm sorry. In the book of 2 Nephi, in the 11th chapter, verse 155, and also Isaiah 29 and 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And now, most importantly, we see today, and with the two records, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, to be able to understand and to know of the fullness of these things. But further yet, most importantly, we just read of the house of Israel, the Lord's covenant people, being brought out of darkness, and they will see out of obscurity and out of darkness. They cannot see. There are many of the house of Israel. I'm going to say a good share of the house of Israel today. They don't even know they are of that lineage. We believe of the American Indian have a part in that lineage. Do they think they are of Israel? Well, I'm going to laugh you to off the stage if you were to say something like that. They don't know that or think that, but they will come to know that. You know, those that will hear, those that will know or want to know. There are those in different portions of the world that they have found to be of that lineage of the house of Israel. There are those in Ethiopia that were found to be of the lineage of Solomon, and they were flown back to in Israel, had part in it. They say there are those in some portions of the world that are practicing Jewish customs and so on. But they're going to be taken out of obscurity. They don't even know of their heritage. In 1950, I believe it was, when Clarence Wheaton had been taken to the house of Nemancio Shue by prophecy, they didn't know they were of that lineage. They didn't know until he read out of the Book of Mormon, and they held it up and said, "This is our book." They know, or they are of that heritage now. You see, that same example, they will come to know out of blindness, out of obscurity. And this must come, and it will. These prophecies, we're talking about the coming forth of the record of Mormon and the knowledge it will bring. When we talk about the Book of Mormon, it's not the book. We always need to make this preface with a lot of people. It's not the book of the Mormon Church. It's among them. But it is the record of the prophet, the man, Mormon. This was his abridgment, along with the of Moroni's portions that were put in here as well, and so it's the record of Mormon and the knowledge it will bring. In the Book of Mormon, once again, that there is a book in the Book of Mormon called the Book of Mormon, chapter 4, verse 33, and no one will need say that they shall not come forth, for surely they surely shall, for the Lord has spoken it. For out of the earth shall they come by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it. And talking about the plates, talking about the records, and they did, you know, and we're reading it today. This work is beyond the very knowledge and the capability of any man to meet that criteria of to write a Book of Mormon. We went through that study one night about what it would take to write a Book of Mormon. It's just beyond capability. And then for it to stand, and all things according to the world plan, current events, and things in the latter day must match the prophecies that it has been stated in the Book of Mormon. They must match what was already stated hundreds of years ago. And even the topography of the land that it describes in many places. And we find evidences all over, even from reading the Book of Mormon. In 1 Nephi 3 and 194, and they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. Most importantly, it was very divinely stated that the records will come forth according to the words of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And it is His gospel, the gospel of the Father, that shall be preached, and they shall come forth. And they were established by the mouth of the Lamb, the very representative of the Father, Jesus Christ. In the book 1 Nephi, chapter 7, verses 22 through 25. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare His arm in the eyes of all the nations, in bringing about His covenants and His gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. We were speaking of just a little while ago. Wherefore He will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their first inheritance. And we talk about the divisions of lands over in and around Jerusalem and what they once had and compared to what ground they hold today, that little sliver of Jerusalem. Once again, take a look on your world map and see what Jerusalem or what Israel looks like right there compared to all that's around her. Take a look at an old Bible map and see what the division of the lands used to be around there and what the Lord had given them. And they will be restored to the lands of their first inheritance. But this will be the Lord's doing. And this will be, once again, verse 24, and they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. May those to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what do they believe, most of them believing today? I'm not saying there's not, they call Messianic Jews, which believe in Jesus Christ. There are. But a good portion of these believe in the old law, and a lot of them believe that there is going to be this temple that is going to be erected there in order to make sacrifice the way they used to do it with the killing of the red heifer and so on for sin. They must come to to be brought out of darkness is to the light of Jesus Christ, and they must know of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. You know, it's very prophetic about verse 24. It should be brought out of obscurity, not of darkness. What about people today? We find the same example, don't we? With the light of Christ coming into the light and into the life of people that do not know Him, have no belief in Him, that don't know the ways of the Lord, that haven't read of His gospel, haven't heard it, haven't been taught it, they too would be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness, wouldn't they, to hear the words of the Lord, to hear the message and of the key, the salvation, the truth in the gospel. That true would have be, that would also be true, wouldn't it? Of those that come to know of Jesus Christ today. And they're touched by the Spirit of the Lord and blessed of the Lord. And they begin to understand. And their life begins to take shape and form. And have that foundation and knowledge in their life. They will be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. And there's a spiritual, powerful leading of the Lord. Just like He's spiritually, powerfully led each of you to this day, and you each have your testimonies of how He's led you to this day. I know I do, and I've heard yours, and it's witnessed by you even being here to hear the words and study the words of the Lord, and that His Spirit, as we meet together, what does move and direct our lives. In the book of Jacob, in the second chapter, verse 67, this is the brother of Nephi. And a hundredth part of the proceedings of this people, which now began to be numerous, cannot be written upon these plates. And here we find these are the people of Nephi. And they were beginning to populate the land. People had come out of Jerusalem. And they had been also, they had divided already into two groups. We have the Nephite and the Lamanite. The Lamanite at that time did not believe in the ways of the Lord. They believed they'd been cheated out of their birthright from the very start. And their younger brother Nephi was to become a prophetic leader over them, if you will, and leading them. And he was there, he would protect them and lead them, not only by the spirit and the ways and the power of the Lord, but also physically. They had the sword of Laban with them out of the treasury they had brought with them, and it was of fine workmanship, they said, and they made other swords that were just after that same pattern. So he protected them even in war as well. And they, a hundredth part of the proceedings of the people cannot be written upon these plates. But these sacred plates or records were beginning to be passed down from one entrusted person to another. Now this is part reading of when they had kept this record from the Nephi had taken plates and started this other record. The proceedings and the prophesying, the prophesying and the important things of the people. And but their actual history would be about in another section of their records. But there was a concise record that was beginning to be kept, is where the Lord said would come forth. And but these things were starting to be passed down from one person to another for very wise reasons, and had to be very careful who they passed them down to. One entrusted person to another, so these records would be taken care of. Also that they would not fall into the hands of enemies that would destroy them. And they stated many times that if our enemies receive them, that they would restore, we'd destroy their records also. These things written also would be the fulfillment of the Lord's prophecy to come forth to us and his coveted people. Now as we read in other prophecies, it would come forth unto the Gentiles first. That's us. And then unto his coveted people. And that work in the vineyard, I believe, is going on now. Has been going on, and as it stated, that when we receive these things, know that the work of the Father hath already commenced unto the restoring of his people to lands of their inheritance. It's already at work. The work of the Lord has already commenced when those plates were to come out of the ground. And it will go forth in its circuit to the ends of the earth, wherever the Lord designs it to go. For all to hear. But that work is going on now. There may be a greater outpouring, of course, of this of his spirit and power in the future. But it's already going on now. And we see that evidence to the prophecy in the Book of Mormon, the lineage or the descendants of Lehi down in the Yucatan. Where the spirit is moved, there's probably, I think, upwards of 1,500 people in the Yucatan, in the churches and so on. Right now, I believe there's a great outpouring of his spirit among them today, where they meet continually in ministerial meetings and are praying over the work and so on. There's been great and powerful things that have been taking place, and spiritual manifestation, even the beholding of angels. And so I believe that is a great evidence. We find in the book of Mosiah, in the first chapter, verses 4 through 6, that King Mosiah teaches his son, this is on page Sons, 207, and he also taught them concerning the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass, saying, My sons, I would that ye should remember that it were not for these plates which contain these records and these commandments, we must have suffered in ignorance. What did we read about the people of Zarahemla? Ignorance. Even at this time, not knowing the mysteries of God. For if it were not possible that our father Lehi could have remembered all these things to have taught them to his children, except it were for the help of these plates. For he, having been taught in the language of the Egyptians, Therefore, he could read these engravings and teach them to his children, that thereby they could teach them to their children, and so fulfilling the commandments of God, even down to this present time. Here he was teaching his children these things. His sons, Laman and Lemuel, didn't want anything to do with those. They thought their father was a visionary man. And when Lehi or Nephi were teaching them, what does our father mean concerning these things that he just told us about? Or when Nephi read of other things, they said, what does that mean? And what does he tell them? Did you inquire of the Lord? Did you ask him? Have you given yourself to know? It's the same challenge to us today, of course. And so he was teaching them. We find the one Stella stone, I think it really comes to my mind at this time. They call it Stella Azapa, or whatever that they had found, this large stone. That it was a depiction of the tree of life. And it shows one old man in a rather priestly hat, if you will, teaching a younger man. One they thought the inscription of Lehi or and Nephi. That's what they believe these were to be. And they were teaching from father to son and so on. And so in that same challenge is there for us today. We find Egyptian engravings all over this country. We find Reformed Egyptian in this country as well, in different hieroglyphs. But this record was included by Moroni and Mormon son. These came from the 24 gold plates found by the people of King Limhi that joined with King Mosiah, given an account from the Tower of Babel, recorded also in Genesis, also telling us they knew of Christ. How important that is. In Ether 1 and 4, we were reading from the book of Ether this morning in the 6th chapter, weren't we? Therefore, I do not write those things which transpired from the days of Adam until that time, but they are had upon the plates. And whoso findeth them, the same will have power that he may get the full account. Now, we already have an account here of the time of Adam, don't we? And that's probably why they weren't included in the Book of Mormon. He says they are already, you know. Just like the Book of Revelation. He said, I'm not going to include that. I have to stop right here because it's already going to be taken care of by the prophet John. Okay, and we have that in the book of Revelation. And but who will find them will get that power. They may get the full account. So those things are written on plates of brass as well, or whatever they were made upon. Ether 1 in 98. Behold, I have written upon these plates the very things which the brother of Jared saw. Now remember, brother Jared, just kind of prefacing some of these things, was what he came out from the time of the Tower of Babel that we read about in the Bible. But we don't, they just said they scattered them. They don't mention Jared's name and his brother. But the Book of Mormon does. And they said, we were there. That's neat, you know. As you may talk to people about the experience of the time of the Tower of Babel. When the Lord's, you know, the very thing I challenge people, I'm talking about the Book of Mormon, that do you read in there about the time of the Tower of Babel when people are scattered, thence abroad upon the whole face of the earth? Does the Lord do something for nothing? No. He scattered them according to his own will and pleasure, that the earth would be populated, but he would also preserve people and teach them and lead them to where he would have them go. And we have a record in the Book of Mormon, a man by the name of Mormon records of a people that said, hey, we were there, and this is what happened. It's so neat. But the things that the brother of Jared saw, and there was never was greater things made manifest or made known than that which was made manifest unto the brother of Jared. Wherefore the Lord hath commanded me to write them, and I have written them. Okay? And we know that the brother of Jared, had such great faith that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him. I told him, as you see me now, I will appear unto my people in the flesh. We have the there was the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the people of Nephi. It was recorded in Mormon's record from Helaman, chapter 5 in 3 Nephi, chapter 14, and Moroni, chapter 1, verse 6. These sacred texts from the mouth of the Savior to make known his doctrine to mankind for salvation's sake. That's chapter 1 through chapter 6. Was the words that were included in there on the plates to tell from the very mouth of the Savior when he taught and he set up his church upon this continent to make known his doctrine to mankind for salvation's sake, the key of salvation. And in 3 Nephi 12, 1 through 3, as I was mentioning about the things that Jesus taught them, and there cannot be written in this book even a hundredth part of the things which Jesus did teach unto the people. But behold, the plates of Nephi do contain the more part of the things which he taught the people. And these things have I written which are a lesser part of the things which he taught the people. And I have written them to the intent that they might be brought again unto this people from the Gentiles, according to the words which Jesus has spoken. Who is that? That's us. That's the restored Church of Christ, according to the words which Jesus has spoken. His work, his design, his calling, his leading. And he has also said, as we read the book of Isaiah, my word will not return unto me void. And when they shall have received this, which is expedient, that they should have first to try their faith, and if so be that they shall believe these things, then shall the greater things be made manifest unto them. They should believe these things. The greater things? That's a good question, isn't it? Maybe more, of those records? But once again, if that's the case, we must pray that there's that be the gift of the seer stones, the person being able to look through them as they're commanded. And what, speaking of the seer stones, Mosiah 5 and 73. And the things are called interpreters, and no man can look in them except he be commanded, lest he should look for that he had not ought, and he should perish. That was a very great pains exerted in the restoration when Joseph Smith was to look through them, as he was commanded. And they were not to be let out. They did not mess up. Just like, you know, it's just like the ark. If you were not, you're not a sanctified Levite, you weren't to touch it. If you did, you would perish. And I'm thinking the same thing here. It is of the power of the Lord and commandment of the Lord. And he would perish. Mosiah 5 and 83. Doubtless, a great mystery is contained within these plates and these interpreters were doubtless prepared for the purpose of unfolding all such mysteries to the children of men. Those interpreters, those two stones fixed in the rim of a bow. We're talking about the same thing. We find those things, the same things over in the Bible, in the time of Moses. When the chief priest, priest was to have looked through them. Call them Urim and Thummim. They say is interpreted as light and knowledge. Mosiah 13 and 2. Yea, all the records and also the interpreters, and conferred upon him and commanded him that he should keep and preserve them, also keep a record of the people, handing them down from one generation to the other, even as they have been handed down from the time that Lehi left Jerusalem. If you ever want to take a look at that YouTube video, let me know. There's that one called that on Benai Lehi. It's one that Brother Ron Kuhn had sent to me. And it's really neat. It's just outside Jerusalem. They found these ruins. Really neat. And we find back as far as Ether 1 and 99. And this is the record, of course, of the prophet Ether that dwelt before the time of the Nephite migration, the Jaredite. And he commanded me that I should seal them up, the records. And he also commanded me that I should seal up the interpretation thereof, wherefore I have sealed up the interpreters according to the commandment of the Lord. They had to go with the plates so that they could be read. And they would be read according to the power of the Lord. In the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Mormon, chapter 4, verse 100, but the Lord knoweth the things which we have written, and also that none other people knoweth our language. Because that none other people knoweth our language, therefore we have prepared means for the interpretation thereof. And, of course, that's those interpreters. There's an instance that I wanted to bring out of the Bible here. And this was not really for the making of plates to write the words on, but that they did work with those materials. But it was for a purpose of this sin that had been committed. They challenged the authority of Moses and the work of the sanctuary, if you will. And there had been censers that were commanded to be made of these people. And they were to each make this, make an incense before the Lord, and to see whose offering would be accepted. And they said that they were destroyed. Those people were destroyed because it was not of the Lord. It was proven that their assault against Moses was wrong. And so, as a memorial, those censers, those brazen censers that they had made, let's read about it. Exodus 39 and 33. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and made it into wires, to work it in the blue and the purple and the scarlet and fine, all cunning work. And they made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together by the two edges it was coupled together. And now it speaks of that same instance over in Numbers 16 and 38. The censers of these sinners, against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering for the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, and therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers where they were burnt and offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar. That was a memorial of that instance. They had needed to revere the work of the Lord and those that were sanctified for the work of the Lord. And those censers, it's like an incense holder. You know, people have incenses, they put them in little brass holders or whatever. And these are made out of gold, it says. And the others, they talk of brazen censers. But the main thing I'm trying to show you is that they also had were working with metals and so on. And I even showed you some hieroglyphs last time of some smelting pits where they also had made those things. And I'm going to last couple slides here. And as we find, you know, from the plates, the very things that we have read, the very challenge to you as we read the words of the Book of Mormon. It's just like when Lehi and Nephi had told, Lehi told his sons, or Nephi told his brethren, and they said, what about these things in here? What do they mean? That same challenge given to you today. They said, did you go to the Lord over it? Did you ask him for a testimony and to know of these things of yourself? Behold, I would exhort you that when you shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that you should read them, that you should remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam, even down until the time that you shall receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. And when you shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God the Eternal Father in the name of Christ if these things are not true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost you may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever thing is good and just and true, wherefore nothing is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And I was telling Sue, a young man that we've been praying for over in India. He's having some more personal trials over there right now. A young man by the name of Laxman and his family. And I told him, did you pray over the Book of Mormon to know that it's true? And he received a dream. He received a dream that he saw the missionaries that had come to them over there. And they were having services. He also. And they were preaching out of the Bible and specifically out of the Book of Mormon. And the other thing was he saw was that he was interpreting for them. And so I said, you know, it means several things to me. And maybe in the future you could be helping involved in that work. And so I asked and interested your prayers for Laxman and his family as well. They're receiving persecution over there in different forms and trying to encourage him and pray for him. And so I thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. I thank you for being here and worshiping with us this day. I hope you look into some of these scriptures and this various subject. Once again, you know, one beautiful thing about the internet, it's the largest library you'll ever know of. And the things I've been telling you about, these archaeological things, I haven't even scratched the surface. Get on there and play for a while and tap in some of those claims that I've told you about. You'll find that and a whole boatload more. Just really, really neat. But remember, no matter what, it must all stand on faith. You must have what's pleasing to the Lord is our faith.